Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. It's deja vu all over again as Georgia finds thousands of more uncounted ballots. And guess what? They favor Donald Trump. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
This is not a repeat, folks. Another county in Georgia has found more than 3,000 uncounted ballots. This now in Fayette County. Remember, initially it was 2,600 uncounted ballots. That was not recounted ballots that were changed. Those were uncounted ballots on thumb drives that were never put into the machine. So those voters that were that cast their ballots weren't going to have their votes counted if this not even just recount in Georgia, but re-canvassing in Georgia didn't occur. So there were 3,000 earlier from Floyd County. Now there are 2,600 from Floyd County. Now 3,000 more from Fayette County. And another 284 from Walton County. So three counties in Florida, in Georgia, have found thumb drives of votes up into the thousands that hadn't been cast. It's taken down Joe Biden's lead by about 1,800 votes. It's down almost below 13,000 to 12,000 something votes. And that's only three out of Georgia's 159 counties. And they're rushing to try and get this recount done.
By tonight.
I want to know how many more thumb drives are out there, because these aren't just being discovered in like big urban cities. These are being discovered in small towns.
I want to know. Andy Econo is joining us actually from Atlanta. So he's in his studios there. But I want to know, Andy, what in the world is going on in the state of Georgia? These, by the way, are not while we've recounted and we've made a calculation or tabulation error. This is, oh, by the way, we have found 6,000 votes in just a couple hours.
This is an outrage, and I'm embarrassed to be a Georgia citizen and to have this kind of a situation obtain in our state. You find votes in Floyd County in Rome, Georgia. Then last night, you found votes in Fayette County, which is just south of the Atlanta airport, a heavily Republican area. And then I hear they found votes in Walton County in Monroe, Georgia, which is east of downtown Atlanta, another heavily Republican area. How in the world can the Secretary of State certify that this election has any kind of integrity? I have no idea. We've got, as Jordan mentioned, 159 counties in the state of Georgia. How in the world can you say that there are not votes somewhere creeping around in the Okefenokee Swamp, down in Folkestone, Georgia, down in Waycross and so forth, and certify by tonight that this was a valid election? I don't see that that can be done with any degree of certainty or with any degree of honesty.
I want to ask you this, Jordan, because you've done these, you've done campaigns in Georgia. Yeah. How are they finding these?
This is absurd. This is because there was an election chaos. I still go back to a stolen election that seized on the chaos of COVID, that said we've got to do all these mail-in, so none of these counties knew what to do. None of these board of elections could handle this. We've seen this all around the country. And so in Georgia with this thumb drive situation, again, this is not happening like in the big urban cities where there's thousands upon thousands of these thumb drives. In one of the counties, it was just the other thumb drive, one of two. And they still hadn't figured that out on election day. So what concerns me is you've got a Secretary of State in Georgia who is a Republican rushing to get this recount done. And instead, he should be sending in as many people as possible that he can muster into all of these election facilities and figure out how many thumb drives there are so we get a real count on the Georgia election. There is time to do that. We have time to do that. And you see how quick it is. They put the thumb drive in. The votes are tallied very quick. But there's a rush in Georgia. This Secretary of State has mishandled this. I mean, both U.S. Senate candidates in Georgia, Republican candidates in the runoff, have called for him to resign. They've called for him to resign, that he's run just a horrendous election.
Yes.
And these are examples of it.
Terrible.
They were unprepared in a red state, and we're not afraid to call that out, even though they're Republicans. That's what we do on this broadcast. We call out the wrongdoing in the election.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We go right.
Yeah, I'm going to say something to the people in Georgia here and the Secretary of State, and this is obviously not because of partisanship, because you're a Republican, but you got a lot of explaining to do. I just want to be clear. You found close to 6,000 ballots. What if there's 10,000 more or 20,000 more? And it's just shockingly, these are in precincts that lean towards the president. And we are 2 weeks and a day after the election. And in the state of Georgia, where I spent a good part of my life growing up from, 15 years old up, and Andy and I are bar members in Georgia, and the idea that we are 2 weeks and a day from the election, and the Secretary of State goes on air and says how wonderful their recount process is, although I will tell you there's some issues with that, like the counties don't know which number to give on the recount, the original number or the recount number.
Right.
I know that for a fact because I'm one of the lawyers handling the cases. So that evidence will be coming forward. So when they give the recount number, they're not sure if it's the county recount or do you give the original number. Can you? And they said, I'm not going to give the evidence away yet.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, but we've heard about this problem. I mean, it was brought up to me by Newsmax, Ginny Beth Martin calling in.
That's
the
who
Georgia,
it was.
Yeah, Ginny Beth Martin called the Georgia Secretary of State.
Have they played that now?
Okay, then
I can talk about it.
She's posted to Twitter, yeah.
So Ginny Beth Martin made a phone call to an election official.
Multiple election officials.
Said, and Andy, you'll love this. Which vote, when you certify, now that you've done a recount and you found these ballots, and which numbers are you giving? And in a number of these counties she's called, I don't know if she's called them all yet, they were saying, we give the original number. We aren't. That's what the state has told us, Andy. Give the original number. Then what's the purpose of a recount, which just happens to be finding all of these ballots?
That makes no sense whatsoever. If you're going to have a re-canvass, and the word that Rappensberger, the Secretary of State, used was that he was going to have an audit, then you give what the audit numbers show. You don't give the original count, which is suspect to begin with. You give what the recount shows and what the re-canvass shows. This is outrageous. Look, Jay, I represented the Secretary of State in Georgia when I was in the Attorney General's office and after I left the Attorney General's office. The principal thing that the Secretary of State in Georgia does is ensure a proper election. They do other things too, securities, charities, cemeteries, archives, professional examining boards. But the main thing they do, and the main thing that stands out is have a proper election. He can't even do that. Well, he goes on CNN and blames the president.
Yeah, and blames Lindsey Graham and takes completely out of context what Lindsey Graham purportedly said. Because this, I don't know what this guy's running for, but let me explain something really clear to our audience, because this is absurd. We are 2 weeks and a day from the election of the president of the United States. It took place 2 weeks and a day ago. And in Georgia, who couldn't get the ballot counting that done that night correctly, and now we find out there was not a water main break in Fulton County and all that go-home stuff
right.
was a...
They were still counting votes.
They were still counting votes, of course. The whole thing's a fraud. And what they need to do is say, you know what? This is a mess. We need to redo this. Or throw it to the legislature, whatever the Constitution of the state of Georgia says.
That they have failed as a state to carry out an election.
They have failed as a state to carry out a fair, full election compliant with the United States Constitution's mandates. And to me, and I know, Than, I want to get Than's kind of view on where this is, but what's the sense in Washington on this right now? Because I'm going to tell you something. 2 weeks and a day out, and you're finding, 3,000 votes here. What if we find 11,000 votes tonight? Or 14,000? Or 40,000?
Yeah.
Than?
Yeah, I mean, remember when we said before the election that it was just such a terrible idea to rush through all these last-minute changes? This is why, Jay. I mean, when you rush through changes and states operate elections based on processes that they haven't gotten used to, you get confusion like this. I mean, I'm with Jordan. I mean, come on, how many more of these memory drives are we going to come up with? And, Jay, are we going to come up with them before or after the certification takes place? I mean, that would be a really key question to ask them. But I think to answer your question about Washington, I think there are two things that they're focused on right now. Number one, this is why you see every single legal challenge through to the end, because look, you don't have all the facts at the beginning. You've got to wait till you have all of the facts, see all of those challenges all the way through, and then see where the chips may fall. And number two, Jay, I think there's going to be a strong call for every single state to conduct a top-to-bottom review of their election process, because this just cannot happen. We cannot have it this far after an election that American voters still have not had their vote cast. We beg those voters to stay in line, Jay. That's what everybody said. Go in the rain, stand in line, have your vote counted. Well, if we're going to tell voters to do that, Jay, we sure better count their vote once they cast it.
I mean, this is the key is, and I know we've got a lot of calls this. In fact, I think, you know, we could take some of these calls right now, 1-800-684-3110. John in Louisiana on line two. Hey, John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. And let me preface my comments by saying that this, what I'm about to tell you guys, may be the most important phone call I've ever made in my life. I'm an attorney in Louisiana.
Okay.
And I try to be a constitutionalist where I can. I understand that Article 2, Section 1 provides that the states are allowed full authority for purposes of holding elections for the appointment of electors. But the one item that everybody has missed, everybody, that I think is very critical here, is 3 U.S. Code Section 1.
Sure.
3 U.S. Code Section 1 is called the time of appointing electors. And it says, quote, the electors of president and vice president shall be appointed in each state on the Tuesday. Okay. And what that means is that the electors must be appointed on Tuesday. Now, we know they can count votes after Tuesday. But what's critical is that the votes for the electors be received by Tuesday. Now, when we deal with Pennsylvania, the dogfight that we're in and the losing dogfight that we're in is that we're trying to challenge interpretations of Pennsylvania state law. We know the state Supreme Court is in the pocket of the Biden administration. They're going to interpret the plain language completely opposite from the plain language for purely political purposes. The problem with it is if you fight on their terms in state courts, you're going to lose every time. And we know from Rehnquist's concurring opinion in Bush v. Gore,
right,
that the Supreme Court is going to respect the interpretations of state law by the highest courts of the state.
Correct.
So I'm not confident that Roberts will accept a challenge to state court. So what we have to do is we have to find a basis of federal question jurisdiction.
Exactly.
To get this in front of court.
And I was working on this last night. Go ahead. You read my mind. Go ahead.
3 U.S. Code Section 1 provides that entree. And the strategy is this: challenge every ballot that's been received across the country in every state that was received after 8 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday night.
The day of the election.
All of those, correct. Every single one of those ballots are ipso facto unconstitutional under federal law,
yeah,
not under state
law. So let me tell you, that is being, we're entitled to, the judge said we can amend the complaint in Pennsylvania. I am not going to on this broadcast go into what that amendment may or may not look like. I will say that you have addressed quite well, John, the legal issues that are there. You're right. State claims generally are going to be resolved in the state court system, federal claims in the federal system. You've seen that John Roberts, in his opinions, has said when the federal government, federal judges start messing with it, he tends to throw it out. State court judges, he gives a pass. I'm not sure, by the way, that would be 5-4 if at the court now because of Amy Coney Barrett. I don't know that. But Amy Coney Barrett may, Justice Barrett, I should say, could rule differently, I think, on that than John Roberts did. But having said that, all of that's being looked at. I don't think you go to all 50 states, though, because that's not practical. I mean, we got to be, I think your ideas are great, John, but we've got to go to the states that are out, we keep saying this phrase, outcome determinative. Is this outcome determinative? That is the key.
Yeah, that's right. So it's the states, everyone knows it. It's the states like Wisconsin where the Trump campaign is going to do a recount in a couple of specific counties. They're not doing they're not paying for a full statewide recount, but a recount in a couple of specific counties. That was announced today. And then can we tell people about the federal court case that was argued by the campaign attorney, Rudy Giuliani? That was in federal court. Now, we were expecting that motion to dismiss went pretty long, the hearing there.
Rudy did a great job.
We might get something last night or tomorrow.
Instead, now we've got additional briefing that's being done. The judge, I thought Rudy did a fantastic job. Andy, you and I have talked about that. We knew he could do it. I mean, and he did. And there's additional briefing there. There's a chance for another amendment to the complaint the judge has authorized. So, the fact is, you know, I say this to somebody because people say, oh, how's Rudy Giuliani going to do this? And I don't remember who said it, but it was, I think it was Andy. I mean, he took down the New York mob. He could argue a motion to dismiss at a U.S. District Court in Harrisburg.
Yeah.
That's right. If Rudy Giuliani can take down the Cosa Nostra and the mob, he can take down the corrupt Democratic Party, because in reality, what's the difference? He's just having to speak in English instead of Italian.
All right, folks, we come back. We'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. As you know, we're involved in all of these battles. We're also involved in a pro-life battle. We just filed at the Sixth Circuit in support of a Tennessee law to protect the unborn and this abortion done for the purpose of discriminatory reasons. And that has been challenged. That's in federal court. We filed that. Support the work of the ACLJ. In the month of December, we have a matching challenge. You can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. If you donate today online and through the month of November, we have a group of donors that say we will match every contribution that comes through in the month of November. So you double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ by donating online at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
This is a very interesting call because you would think, especially with these votes that have been found, they've been favoring President Trump. It hasn't been enough to change the outcome of Georgia yet, but there's only thumb drives found in three counties so far.
And they need to check all 159
counties.
Would
love to know if they would have changed the outcome for Senator Perdue. But we have a question about that. It's Rick in Montana on line four. Hey, Rick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, with the runoff and going to happen in January, and when all the dust is settled from the recount, what if it gives both of those senators over 50% plus one vote when they're done counting?
They're not counting them. I mean, I think, listen, it wouldn't have happened for Loeffler because that was a two-way race between two Republicans and between her and Doug Collins and the Democrats. So she was not going to find enough votes to get to the 50 plus one. But certainly David Perdue could have, the way that they are finding votes for Trump. You would assume you'd also be finding votes for Perdue there. And he was just, you know, a few thousand away? I mean, it was a very small number. So the thing is, though, in this Georgia recount, because that's a runoff, they're not even counting the Senate votes. So don't think this will impact David Perdue. It will not. They're not even looking at that number. That's some state-specific law. I think it should have been challenged by the Perdue campaign, but we're way past that now. So there's going to be two runoffs. These new votes that are being found will not impact either David Perdue's race or Kelly Loeffler's race in Georgia. And I know that can be confusing for people to hear, Rick, but that's just the case. When they're doing the recount, it's only presidential, and they're still confused about which numbers they're even going to certify. As we could play for you. This is, Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots, good friend of ours, and she called. She's from Georgia. She called a few of these Secretary of State election officials to say, like, hey, what numbers are you going to actually report? She put the audio out so you can hear it. Take a listen.
And did your numbers, were they exactly the same?
No.
Which ones will be counted as the official numbers?
The election night numbers.
Why is that? Do you...
You'll have to ask the state why that is, ma'am. I don't know.
And is it the state who's telling you that that's the numbers that will be...
You'll have to talk to the state, ma'am.
But your numbers were not the same?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to get Andy to comment here, because this was the call that Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party, we represented her and worked with her closely. She has made calls to the state election officials in the counties, and he's represented counties. I have represented counties. I think that the idea that now we do not have it clarified, I would like an audit find. That's what I would call it, an audit find. Not just looking at the ballots. I want to find the ballots. I want an audit find of ballots that are missing in all of the counties in Georgia. And then a directive from the Secretary of State that the number you certify to the Secretary of State is not the election night number. It is the corrected number, including those ballots that have now been found. And let me take it a step further. Move the certification date back in these circumstances, Andy, so that you could have an actual vote going on here. This is a race that's within now, 10,000 votes, 11,000 votes? With all these modifications. So this has got to move. This has to happen.
Well, Jay, you're absolutely correct. To say that I'm going to report the election day find nullifies and makes completely absurd any recount or any audit or recanvassing. Why would you have that if you're going to approve and certify a number that you know is wrong? You know that the number is wrong. That's what we have audits for. Audits go in and actually look at the ballots, touch the ballots, feel the ballots, compare the signatures on the envelopes with the actual ballots in these mail-in ballots, which were the vehicles for so much fraud, and then you report it properly after you do the audit. You don't take the election line. Now, this public official that was interviewed just now, she didn't know what she was talking about. She says, we've been told, or I'm going to report the election night fine. That's wrong. That nullifies and makes nugatory any idea of why you have an audit. The audit is to find out what the actual number is, and it should be done in every single county, and there's no need to rush. You do it properly and you certify it properly if you're going to have an election with any integrity, Jay.
You know, when Bush versus Gore took 37 days to get it resolved. This has been 2 weeks. So let's go through the process here. It's not like we're not finding something. I mean, we're actually finding evidence. And this evidence, by the way, I will tell you this. I don't know if it's out there publicly yet, but there's going to be a new lawsuit filed in Georgia, either today or tomorrow. Talked with the lawyers helping on that. So that's going to be filed today or tomorrow. A lot of these irregularities will be noted. And again, you know, Than, what is the kind of temperature read up there on this right now?
Well, I think they want to see where the challenges lie. I would put yourself in the shoes of a state legislator in this position, though, Jay. I mean, how in the world would you go and cast a vote to certify elections that now, based on that sound that you just played, you know for a fact are wrong? I mean, you can't vote to certify in that circumstance. The only circumstance in which you could vote to certify is if the most recent tallies that have been deemed to be accurate are the ones that are there. Jay, I think what you're going to hear from D.C. in the next couple of days is an insistence that the Secretary of State answer that question. I also think there's going to be an insistence that he ask the question, why is he interpreting Georgia state law, which allows a recount when a margin is within half a percentage, to not apply to Senator David Perdue here? I mean, Jordan's right on this. It's going to a runoff. That's where all of our attention needs to be. But the Secretary of State, Jay, he's got to answer that question because Senator Perdue is within about a quarter of a percent, and yet the law is being interpreted that does not meet the threshold for a recount when it's inside of a half a percent. And if, Jay, we're still coming up with more votes, look, that quarter of a percent, that could easily be overcome.
I mean, this is, again, I think what you've seen in Georgia is a travesty, and I think it's probably occurred in other states across the country. We're just, again, we're focused in on these outcome determinative states. The Trump campaign obviously saw there's two specific counties in Wisconsin that they are going to pay to do a recount in because they saw irregularities there. We know in Pennsylvania, irregularities. We know that in Nevada, 160, they've admitted there was a fraudulent election at the local level within Clark County. So large that they're throwing out 160,000 votes in that election, but they're going to keep the votes for president. So they were too fraudulent for a local county commissioner's race in Nevada, but not too fraudulent for Biden versus Trump. So they've admitted to the fraud in Nevada already, but they don't want to apply it at the presidential level. 160,000 votes, I mean, that could swing things, obviously, in any state. So it's absurd. That lawsuit's been filed. I mean, this is again, we're seeing time and time again, even when they've admitted, Dad, like in Nevada, that we've had fraud in our election. Clark County admitted it, the biggest county in Nevada.
They said they had fraud in their election. They're throwing out 150,000 ballots, but not the ballots for the president of the United States. I mean, I want you to think about that for a moment. I'm one who's going to tell our director this, our producer, Will. Let's stay live during Facebook and YouTube during the break here. I want to lay some stuff out here. And I'll do that again when we go back for our radio audience as well, so you won't be missing it. But I'm telling you something, folks. If there was a time to support the ACLJ, now more than ever, it is right now. And as Jordan said, we're in a matching challenge campaign. And we've had a huge response, I have to say, and a huge thank you to our donors and members. But now would be a perfect time for you to support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, because you can double the impact of your donation, because the entire month of November, we have a group of donors that say every donation that comes in this month, we will match that donation. So a $20 donation, that's what you donate to the ACLJ, but it's like $40 for us at the ACLJ. $50 is like $100. $5 is like $10. So donate today. If you care about the work we're doing, the work we're going to be doing as well and planning for, support us at aclj.org. If you care about this broadcast, donate at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And there's been really this update in Georgia. It's just getting absurd that every time we wake up in the morning, we're finding that there has been another thumb drive found. There were two more found last night with a total of about, I think it was 3,300 votes in total from two different counties. We've now into three counties. These are not huge counties in Georgia, but significant because there's 159 counties in Georgia. And this is three where in one county, half the votes were on one of the thumb drives and had not yet been counted yet.
Didn't anybody think in that case that maybe half the votes in our county precinct were not counted, that maybe something's wrong? Did some election official think, or did they just have to wait 2 weeks until someone came forward? Hey, we have 6,000 people usually vote in these precincts in our county, and only 2,800 did. And there looked like there was a lot more people mailing in ballots and coming to vote that day. I wonder if something's wrong. No, it takes a recount. Now, the recount itself, and I just said this to our Facebook and YouTube audiences, I'm going to say it to our radio audience. The recount itself is meaningless if you're still finding ballots. In other words, the number change that we're seeing, I don't believe, I haven't seen number changes yet, are from the recounts. And they are from the ballots that have been discovered. I'm sure there's been some adjustments on the other two. These are ballots that existed, Andy, and were not counted in counties where their voting was off 50%. And then we'll play later that Jenny Beth Martin is doing a great job, her Tea Party group does a great job in Georgia, finding out that the counties are going to certify their election night results, not the recount votes.
Yeah, you're right, Jay. You would have thought that some election official would have said, whoa, we know we've worked in these precincts and we've worked in these areas and there's a serious undercount here. There's something wrong. We don't have the tally that we usually get. What's the problem? And go around and search, but they didn't do it. So, I mean, I think that there's something here that's highly questionable, and it makes the idea that the Secretary of State is going to forge ahead and certify this election tonight by 12 o'clock absolutely absurd, and it disenfranchises the voters of the entire state of Georgia. Why? Because we all our electors are suspect, Jay.
All right. Again, folks, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Paige in Georgia calling about this as well on line one. Hey, Paige, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm in Catoosa County, which is in the northern part of Georgia. And I'm livid, and so many people here are. Our election officials are praising the way that our state has handled this, which just enrages me. But I'm curious where Kemp is. You know, Kemp ran a really tight race against Stacey Abrams and was able to pull out a win, and we were so thankful. But we're a little frustrated. A lot of people here in my area are pretty frustrated at the fact that
you should be. The entire state of Georgia is run by Republicans. They have all failed.
Yes.
And that's why you have two of the federal candidates at the U.S. Senate level. David Perdue, who's a measured person, Kelly Loeffler, these are measured people, business people that come from the business world, have literally called on your Secretary of State to quit, to resign, that he should be ashamed of himself, to hang his head in shame and walk out the door because they failed the people. And they failed the Republicans like you who worked hard to get them in through tough elections. Where is Brian Kemp? Good question. Hiding is the truth.
It's an embarrassment.
They are weak Republicans. I've worked there a long time in Georgia. Unfortunately, that is historic. And it's no surprise to me that they've been taken advantage of by these problems because they aren't up to the task oftentimes. That's why they barely win their elections.
But Jordan, if you have a county or a precinct where there's 6,000 for the normal voting and only 3,000 showed up to vote
moronic.
That day, would you think maybe there's something there? Maybe there's ballots missing? And then guess what? A recount's ordered. Surprise, we find it. And guess what? If there was no recount ordered, those votes weren't counted.
Never found because they
did
a canvas.
So 6,000 citizens at least in Georgia. And if they certify it tonight, shame on them. And that's why we're going to court.
Yep. All right, folks. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. And as you can see, anytime you think this is over, they thought, Giuliani, that'll be over today. And then now there's more briefing. And could be into next week, that case, even to get to the merits. So, folks, there's a lot going on. There's more lawsuits to be filed, and we will be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I want to thank everybody who's watching on Facebook, who's watching on YouTube. You know, we've opened up YouTube just this week, and thousands of you are watching there. So we got almost 7,000 watching on YouTube, and about 12,000 on Facebook, and then of course through Periscope, about 1,000 on, and that's also we're there on Parler through Periscope and on Twitter, and then of course the thousands plus radio stations that are carrying this broadcast right now, and Sirius XM. So most of you are listening, many of you watching as well, and you can see clips from the show too if you're a listener. Later in the day, we do that throughout the day on social media, through our social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, Parler, places like that, and YouTube as well. So check all of that out. Earl on YouTube is super chatter. He just wrote in. He's from the UK, and he said, what you're doing is essential for democracies all across the world. Keep up the good work.
Well, I think that's, you're right, Earl, and I'm thinking about Georgia right now and Nevada. In Georgia, we're finding votes, 6,000 plus votes. Do we have an exact count of that? Well, it's about 6,000, right? Maybe a little bit over that, a little bit less than that. It's right in that zone, and I'm sure they're going to be finding more. Then in Nevada, they take 150,000 votes and say, Andy, these votes were there were too many irregularities here. We're going to throw those out and have them re-vote, right? Is that what they decided? Re-vote. But not as it relates to the top of the ticket, which is the president of the United States. And you tell me how that doesn't violate equal protection.
Yeah, that it does violate the equal protection clause. You've got similarly situated voters, and their votes with respect to the county commissioner are going to be thrown out, but their votes with respect to the president are going to be let to stand. It's the same vote, the same machine, the same tabulation, the same act, but we're going to treat it differently. I think if I was in a federal court, that a judge who would listen to that would say, what are you talking about? You're not going to count the votes for the commissioner, but you're going to count the votes and say that they're valid for the presidency? What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Let's go to Ann in Georgia on line 5. Hey, Ann, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
We got you.
Okay. Actually, I just wanted to know, like, how long are we going to go through this as far as the president?
How long are we going to go through the legal battles? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, the way it works is this. The Electoral College meets December 14th, I believe, is the date. So you try to get these resolved before then. That's the plan. So the litigation in Pennsylvania, litigation in Georgia, litigation in Arizona now, litigation in Nevada, recount in some areas of Wisconsin, possible legal action in Wisconsin. Wayne County in Michigan wasn't going to certify, then changed it.
Yeah,
so it could after be a pressure. So because and they said we're not going to certify it because there were too many irregularities. Which I go back to Than on this, and I know that you can't have this federal cure. But my gosh, the United States Senate is up for, at stake here in Georgia. I mean, it's at stake, and you've got the and no indication that any of these loopholes are being closed. Than.
Well, in one state, when you've got you know the presidential race not being counted, only county commissioners, and then in another state, they're only counting the president's race and not counting the Senate race, and the only rationale for the discrepancy between the two states is which party is leading in which races, Jay, you've got a problem. And look, I mean, we've been very consistent on this broadcast. We think the federalization of elections would actually create more opportunities for fraud, that the decentralization, the state-run elections are the best way to combat it. But, Jay, then when you find it, as we clearly have in this cases, in these cases, it has to be rooted out. So I think the role that, federal officials will play, and I actually think Senator Perdue and Senator Loeffler have done a good job in starting this, is they need to put pressure on the officials inside their state, including the ones from their party, to correct these wrongs once they've been discovered. And Jay, I think there's a role for the elected or for the citizens as well. You are close to this process in your state, and if this has been uncovered in your state, by golly, by the next time an election rolls around, this needs to be righted, and you're going to play a big role in making sure that that happens.
You know, Jordan, I'm going to go to Jordan. I want to ask Jordan and Andy this because you both know the Georgia political scene, but I'll start with Jordan. You've been down there a lot. You've done a lot of campaigns mm-hmm. down there. What is going on?
One is I think what we've seen is a state that is changing demographically, but two, so you've had these very tight elections the last couple election cycles, but it's run entirely by Republicans. Most of them were Democrats until about 10 to 12 years ago, and they're acting like it. And so is the Secretary wow. of State, and they're acting like the Democrats. I wouldn't put it past half of them to go back and play parties with the wind and say, oh, if we're going to be a Democrat state, if it's leaning that way, I'll just go be a Democrat again. I mean, that's who a lot wow. of these actors were. They've been running in Georgia way too long. And I'm not talking about the Senate race, by the way. This is the state-level people. They're fairly incompetent. They have not done very good jobs. Think yeah. about the riots. Okay, they're in charge of the entire state, yet they let a mayor of Atlanta, just in their biggest city, which is the capital, let it be burned down and boarded up. And the state did nothing. Where was Brian Kemp there? What? Hiding. So again, you have a Georgia Secretary of State blaming a U.S. Senator in South Carolina for getting threatening phone calls.
I thought that was the most absurd thing.
He's getting threatening phone calls because he sounds like a moron every time he speaks on TV. So the Georgia Secretary of State, no one deserves threatening phone calls. I don't want that for any politician. But I don't trust him at all. I feel like this guy, he's blaming the president now
yeah.
for losing Georgia.
He said the president lost
how about
Georgia.
Just do your job. And get
count the stinking votes.
Yeah.
How hard is it to count these votes? Well, evidently, Andy, it must be really difficult because in Georgia, a state that, you know, I spent a lot of my growing up years in, a state that now can't seem to get their math together. And I want a thumb drive in here during the next break. And they can't keep their hands on thumb drives.
Yeah, Jay.
There's no security with that either, right? I mean, you just walk around with a thumb drive. Go ahead.
It is. As you know, I live in Georgia, and it's my home state. I live in Atlanta. I am absolutely appalled at the incompetence that has been shown by the incumbent Secretary of State to call out Lindsey Graham to say that he was threatened about him was ridiculous when there were 9 people on that phone call. He's made no action affirmatively as a Republican. He says, well, we won't, and, you know, this is not partisan. Well, of course it's partisan. What do you think an election is but partisan? Of course, act like a Republican. As Jordan said, these guys are still pseudo-Democrats from the days of Tom Murphy, and anyone who knows Georgia politics knows that, and Eugene Talmadge. So they've got that in their blood, and they're gutless. And the one that I really want to know is the question that was asked by Trump during the campaign, where's Kemp? Where's the leadership that is to be shown by the governor of Georgia? I've seen him on television one time making some mealy-mouthed remark, but the governor of Georgia, who is the ultimate certifier of the Electoral College votes that are going to come out of our state, is missing in action.
MIA.
I voted for him, but I'll never do it again.
They're AWOL, absent without leave. I am holding in my hand a thumb drive that could contain 3,000 votes. It doesn't. This is probably contains legal briefs. But let me tell you this. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Are these in people's drawers in the election offices?
Uh-huh.
I want to know, where did they find them? How did they notice that we may be missing a thumb drive? Oh, my goodness. Y'all, I found one. I'm not making fun of Southern people because I'm married a Southerner and I love Southern people. But, I mean, really, here it is. That's what we're looking at, and this is what they can't find.
That's election security for you right there. I mean, that's why.
This is a joke. And this is a joke on the American people, except it's affecting an election for the presidency and two United States senators. Like Jordan said, on the lawful race, that's beyond a runoff situation. But my goodness, David Perdue was down, what, 0.3? I wonder what these votes add to. He's probably picked up a tenth of a point.
Yeah, I mean.
But how many more of these are around?
And why is that the system they're still using?
Please.
I mean, we're supposed to have all this advanced technology. They spend billions of dollars in these states to do that.
Where's the
machines don't work. Well, there's no one. I mean, you look at the. Have you seen this video posted today? Maybe we could play it of them trying to find the boxes of the ballots. And I mean, like, I know Dan Scavino put it out, and this is in Georgia also. And it's like a guy going through boxes. And he's like, in this part, they're right here. And then it gets that part. He gets the fourth box. Where's that other box? You know, I mean, like. It's disastrous.
Remember, we saw the night of the election, people like were on the streets carrying boxes.
Yes, that happened in Philadelphia, and then we don't know where those ever ended up.
But
really.
Folks, I'm holding this up again because I'm a lawyer. I deal with evidence. Okay, I'm holding up the evidence. How many more thousands of votes are floating around Appling County, Gwinnett County, Bibb County, Coweta County? You know, Chatham. I could go through the list.
It's a long list.
Twigs. You can give me some other ones, Andy, but you know, you get the point. Where are these? They found 3,000 in Floyd, 3,000 in this one, 485 in Forsyth. You know, how is that? Why is there not a double, triple check on this? Are these not locked up? Are these just tossed in a drawer? Yeah, that's 3,000.
I think it's much worse.
And then they're
than
certifying
that
only they're only certifying they will only certify based on election night results. So that's a good reason for a recount and a refind. Yeah. I'll call it a refind.
Yes. I mean, I think the thing is, in Georgia, it is the example of just how an election can be handled so poorly. It does not matter if it's run by Democrats in a state like Pennsylvania or Republicans in a state like Georgia. Both are to blame. And that's what we do at the ACLJ. We're not afraid to blame those Republicans who poorly ran an election to the point where other Republicans are saying, you need to resign. Don't wait until your term is up. Resign now. You have failed your constituents, Georgia's Secretary of State. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I want to put this out there for you. Because when you play that phone call with Ginny Beth Martin, and try to have her on the air tomorrow, and she's called these different county boards of election to see, you know, what votes you're actually going to end up being in the final count after the recount. And some are saying election night. And is the state telling you that? Well, you got to call the state. Well, if it's the election night, when did the election night end? Because on election night, Trump was leading, and it wasn't until November 6th, 3 days after the election, that that Joe Biden actually took the lead in Georgia. When did the election night actually ever end? Has it ended? Because they're still finding new votes. And are the new votes going to be not counted as part of a recount, but added in as just new votes in the count? I mean, they can't even answer that. And I suspect with some more searching, if the searching is still ongoing, if the Georgia Secretary of State is doing his job at all, which I don't think he wants to do, is if they find more of those ballots, shouldn't those be in the election night tally? These weren't recounts. These were just new votes on a thumb drive. I want to go to Than in Washington, D.C. I mean, Than, to me, this just seems outrageous that a state can't even tell you if votes they have just found are election night votes, which they're certainly not recount votes, but they were found because of the canvassing done during a recount, and they don't know what their tally they're even going to report. This is why we have a law at the federal level that says a state can declare that their election failed and appoint different electors.
Well, and Jordan, think about how many states are going to accept mail-in ballots after election night. I mean, that's one of the other challenges going on. So I guess it depends, which candidate the voter voted for, whether or not you're going to accept them after election night. It's really come down to that. But Jordan, I was thinking during the break, I really think there's an analogy here to what we've talked about in the past about the signatures on the FISA applications. We have signatures on those FISA applications to hold those officials Yep. accountable for what is in those applications. Jordan, it's the same thing for the governor. It's the same thing for the Secretary of State. Those officials are accountable for how the elections are run in their state, and that accountability Yep. has to be enforced. In this case, if the votes weren't counted, it is those officials that have to be held accountable.
I'm holding up the evidence here again, because there's a point here, and it's called the chain of custody. In the law, we talk about the chain of custody. When we admit evidence in a criminal case, Andy, we have to prove the chain of custody, that this piece of evidence was handled by such and such, certified, docketed, entered, locked away. Then it was picked up by so and so with a witness, carried to such and such, and this is then deemed to be a chain of custody has been met. I think that we have the right now to know the chain of custody of every single one of these thumb drives. Every, yes. In Georgia, every single one of these thumb drives have to be determined, and if it takes a court order to do it, we should get it, because I'm holding in my hand a little 2-inch thumb drive that literally could change an election.
Well, I agree with you, Jay. I mean, without the chain of custody being verified, it should not be admissible in court to determine the results of a presidential election or a senatorial election, or for that matter, any election. I want to know where that thing came from, who held it, who gave it to whom, what did that person do with it? Was it locked? Was it kept secured? Was access had to it? Could it have been trifled with? Could it have been modified or changed or something done to it? That's what chain of custody is all about. And you've got to know that in order to be able to have confidence in the election. Look, all I want is my state's election to have integrity and confidence. I don't have that in this election in Georgia today. I have every suspicion that something wrong was done and something irregular took place. The Secretary of State obviously felt the same way because he ordered a recount and a re-canvass, but part of that needs to be what you just said. Every thumb drive, everything that reflects a ballot needs to be accounted for from its origin to where it ended up.
Let's go to Charlene in New Jersey on line 6. Charlene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. And thanks for everything you're doing. I have a question. It has to deal with California. They said a judge went and ruled that what Newsom did was overstepped his authority by mail-out ballots.
Yep.
But they said it's not going to,
right.
The decision doesn't affect this election. And I don't understand that, because if they're more or less not following the rules or breaking the law.
It doesn't
or
make any sense, right? I mean, the fact is, now it's a Superior Court judge. They could challenge us. What they said is the executive order was not constitutional under the state constitution in California. The Governor Newsom abused his power by sending mail ballots out to everybody who was a registered voter in California. So they've said you can't do this again. So this is interesting in a time where maybe we have COVID vaccines are working. What about these other pandemics? What if we ever face this again as a nation? It is important to put on record, you can't do this. But this is, again, it just shows you that even when the law has said this election was illegal, the way this election was conducted was illegal, is what that judge said in California. But yet we're not going to be able to do anything about it. It's a pretty sad state.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these judges that are looking at this are trying to figure out, okay, let's assume you're right. What do we do? What's the prayer for relief? But I think in Georgia, it's a demand, a chain of custody on each one of these thumb drives or wherever else the ballots were handled. And I think in Nevada, where they threw out 150,000 votes, for a revote, then you got to do that for the president too.
I think all of Clark County should have been thrown out.
Yes.
If they found that much fraud and 160,000 votes and they've declared one race has to be a revote, well then either throw out all of those votes and say that because there's too much fraud, I don't think you can have that both ways. It just seems...
No, it just completely violates equal protection.
Right. Let's go to another call. Let's go to Michelle in Florida, line two. Hey, Michelle, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, thank you. Sure. First of all, I just have to say, Jay, it's awesome when he's mad.
That's so not mad. That it's just that's courtroom Jay.
I have a dumb question. So we obviously it seems like we can't trust the people who are doing these recounts and audits. Is it something that we can consider, like bringing in some type of unbiased observer, auditor, the National Guard?
A court could say, you know what, this thing is a mess. And as part of the relief, Andy, the court could say, we're going to have observers appointed, which you're supposed to have anyways, and a certified process and a chain of custody on the data.
That's why we have courts. We have courts that give us the relief that we need that we can't get through the political process. So we go to a court. We're a nation of laws. We ask the judge to either invalidate an election, have a re-election again, or to show why or how the chain of custody was maintained, as you very clearly pointed out in all cases, and especially in criminal cases. You've got to have that because it affects not admissibility, but weight. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give much weight to that thumb drive you're holding.
No. Donna on YouTube said, I and my family support the work of the ACLJ. We support the president and what you're doing. My question is, in the end, will people be prosecuted for fraud and crimes? You know? Depends who's going to be the president of the United States. Because I think the Department of Justice may change if it's not President Trump, and they'll let all these people go. I guess. Maybe not. And then I will tell you something else. What's happening in Georgia right now, I'm not talking about fraud and crimes. I'm talking about a failed election. And that's what listen, lawsuits being filed tonight.
Georgia has had a failed election. Nevada's had a failed election. You can say that definitively because Georgia, they're finding new votes by every night by the thousands. In Nevada, they've had to toss out 160,000 from their biggest county because they said there was too much fraud in those 160,000
And they didn't want
votes.
To certify Wayne initially.
Yes, and Wayne in Michigan.
So
and there should be a lawsuit
support the
there.
Work
failure,
of the
ACLJ. Failure, failure. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double your impact to Matching Challenge Month at ACLJ.org. Donate today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.